Αν κάθε φαντό.
If every woven textile could speak, it would tell us stories of Cretan tradition and everyday creativity. Weaving on the island isn't just a craft. It's the voice of women, a thread of history stitched into fabric. Today, this art is finding new life. A digital museum is bridging tradition and technology, and a modern weaving school in Anoia is breathing fresh energy into the craft. In this episode of Discover Crete, we explore the shift from oral tradition to interactive experience. Joining us in the studio is Mr. Georgios Kalamiris, archaeologist, cultural manager, and curator at the cultural organization Androidis Argosteri, and Mr. Antonis Deiadas, digital culture analyst, programmer, and co-founder of Androidis Argosteri. First of all, welcome and thank you both for accepting our invitation to talk about the art of weaving in Crete.
Good morning and thank you very much for having us. We're very happy to be here to talk about a subject that has long preoccupied us and one we believe is connected to the broader wool cycle.
Let's start from the beginning. What is the historical and cultural importance of weaving in Crete?
To understand weaving, I think we need to start from the wool cycle, as I mentioned before, since, in our view, everything begins with shepherding in Coeleretus. We see weaving as a process that starts with sheep's wool, moves through the loom, and from the loom becomes a work of art, a woven piece. So we consider it a practice rooted in the cultural memory of the mountain people, and especially of the mountain women, since it is they who have done the weaving from ancient times to today. It has had an unbroken presence, which I believe is now concluding a major historical cycle. And there's a challenge now to open a new one.
So this connection still exists today. The livestock farmers in Crete essentially provide the raw material to the people working in weaving, and that's why the craft has remained alive.
Absolutely, but we're at a critical point. The livestock farmers are still here, the raw material exists, weavers have started.
But they are disappearing?
Yes, they're slowly disappearing. That's why we've tried to preserve, to record and safeguard this particular craft.
Great, tell us a bit about what you do. What's your role in all this effort?
I think it's important to say that, looking at the history of weaving in Coeleretus, where we're based, we've seen that from antiquity up until World War II, there was a more or less linear development. Women primarily wove their dowries, creating the textiles for their households. And from the time of rebuilding communities in Coeleretus, especially in Anagyria after 1945, they also became traders. That marked a new phase. The woven items left the homes and entered the market, becoming commercial products. And this in turn empowered the women of Coeleretus, which I think is incredibly important. But today, there are fewer and fewer weavers. Those first women traders never passed on their knowledge to the younger generations. So seeing that this cycle is closing, we decided to document it, through our work, through digital culture, to record techniques, oral histories, traditions, digital archives of pieces that have been created, in order to feed the next era that's emerging. We believe this new era is one of combinations, a time when weaving interacts with contemporary art, with technology, and is ready, I think, to produce something new and authentic, still grounded in tradition.
You mentioned the word dowry earlier, and we have listeners outside Greece, so let's explain what we mean when we talk about a woman's dowry in the past. What exactly did it include?
It was mostly made up of various household items, because the wool produced in our regions isn't that easy to process into garments. So when we talked about a dowry, we meant curtains, blankets, rugs, thick throws, bed canopies, instead of paintings, you might say.
So decorative pieces?
Exactly, decorative.
Shepherd's satchels too, known as vorge, and there were different types, some finer, some for everyday use. A whole wealth of items, practical household goods, which would accompany a young couple as they started their married life.
And today a visitor to Crete can still find such items. A vorgia, for instance, is something quite unique that someone might want to take home, because you simply won't find it anywhere else.
That's true. These items are still available on the market. But I think their availability is decreasing year by year. In Anagia, where we are based, there are fewer than 10 active weavers. I believe it's 5 or 6. Whereas back in the early 90s, we knew there were around 670 active looms. That's a huge difference.
We're talking about 5 or 6 women, all over 70 years old.
Now?
Yes, currently.
I remember many people in my own family who had a loom at home and worked on it. Women would weave alongside their household chores, using it as an extra source of income to support their families.
In our village, weaving was a major source of wealth. That's why it left such a strong mark that we still see today in the revival efforts we're trying to launch.
There are stories of large families where a girl didn't go to school so she could stay at the loom and help support her siblings.
To learn a craft and contribute financially to the family.
Exactly.
And that gap is what the new weaving school is now trying to fill. Because this knowledge is being passed on again. Tell us more about this effort.
The weaving school started as a beautiful initiative right after the pandemic through the Recovery and Resilience Fund. It was one of the initiatives managed by the Ministry of Culture to establish 19 new institutions across Greece in weaving, pottery and woodworking. We're especially happy that we were there from the beginning, part of the Recovery Fund Committee, and that we proposed, among other things, the weaving school in Anagia. As I mentioned, this came at a time when we saw the historical cycle of weaving coming to a close, so it was crucial to see if a new one could begin. A new cycle with outward-looking vision, learning, and education. And now, in Anagia, we have a functioning school with 17 to 18 students, plus the teaching staff, learning the foundations of weaving, rug making, and other related skills. They also visit other weaving institutions to see what's happening in other parts of Greece. And the aim of all this is to help create the next generation of weavers for Anagia, for Psilorites, and for Crete more broadly.
Will we see continuity, or something more modern? Will a woman in 2030 be weaving what a woman in 1950 made?
First of all, we're talking about a weaving school in Anagia, but it's not limited strictly to the Anagia tradition. The goal is for them to learn the weaving techniques and then drawing inspiration from Anagia's tradition, motifs and all, to create something that's more practical for today's world.
And let me add here, we had a session by our good friend and collaborator Alexandra Pissa, a weaver from Metsovo and Kanitsa, who, for example, works on a loom that's connected to a computer. So she's creating a new situation, I'd say. A new chapter is opening that draws on the past, using traditional patterns to create a new generation of woven works.
And will the raw material still be wool, or will more industrially produced materials be introduced?
Wool is the big challenge. That's why I spoke earlier about the wool cycle. It's the biggest issue we're facing. Right now, there's no locally produced raw material, nothing from Crete, from Psilorites. This is something we need to tackle collectively, the municipality, perhaps even the central government. We need to explore how the textile industry could play a role here. Essentially, we're talking about a kind of reinvention, to be realistic. When you have the raw material, you can plan more freely, more optimistically. Right now, we don't have it. The wool from local sheep, and there's still plenty, with regular shearing, isn't being collected. It's discarded or even burned. So even though we have the know-how, even though we're developing it and passing it on through education, having our own raw resources is crucial and we need to take that very seriously.
More broadly, do you see interest from people to continue this craft and technique?
That's exactly what the weaving school showed us. The interest was huge, and there were many applications we simply couldn't accommodate. And even more telling is how enthusiastic the women who did take part are. They really enjoy it.
If we think about a challenge for the next 10 to 20 years, how would you like to see all this integrated into the local economy? You mentioned earlier that there were 500, 600 looms operating in Ennoia?
Over 600.
Ideally, what would you like to see in the years ahead?
Ideally, as Jorgo said, we'd like to see the whole wool cycle come full circle. So that the wool isn't wasted and we see factories reopening.
Textile mills.
Exactly. Processing the wool so it reaches the weavers. I'm not saying the goal is 300 workshops, but the goal is for the craft to continue and to evolve.
I also believe the biggest challenge is to see a new generation of creators emerging alongside the weavers. To be able to say that this tradition, with such deep roots and legacy, still bears fruit, still produces goods and can return to a state of production, whether it's 5 or 10 workshops, that would be incredibly significant. Especially on the small scale of a village, it could have a hugely positive impact. So the path from education to production and to social entrepreneurship, that's the most important thing. That's the heart of it. If by 2030, as you mentioned, we could have a small group of women, I'm not talking about something unachievable, 5 to 10 women actively working in the weaving arts.
And beyond the continuation of tradition and the jobs created for these women, there's also motivation for the shepherds too, right? It's an extra source of income for them as well.
Absolutely. It's a value chain, each part supports the other. And in our times, it's especially important to draw new value from traditional resources. Wool, which for millennia was sometimes even the main source of wealth in Silorites, must slowly, but steadily, find its way back into the production cycle.
If someone visits from another area, can they find a workshop, see a loom, and have someone show them how it works?
There are 2 or 3 women who have turned their homes into workshops and stores at the same time, so a visitor can actually see the very item they're buying being made in front of them.
And that's important, because many of them are my neighbors. Mrs. Nitsahereti lives near Antonis, there's Ermione Kalamiri, Aristia Zilori, Archontula Kalamiri, Evangelia Spithori, Evangelia Deyada. There are still women with active workshops. They may be older in age, but they have the energy of youth and a passion to pass on what they know. I'd say they found us first, saying, "Hey guys, it's worth doing something here, and we're here to help. We want to contribute in any way we can."
That's wonderful. It's a way for generations to connect, for one generation to pass down its knowledge to the next. And like we said at the beginning, it's a tradition that needs to stay alive, because weaving is such a defining part of Crete and especially of Ennoia. So it's crucial that it remains alive. As part of all this effort from Androidis Argosteri, there are some ongoing projects. Tell us a bit about them. What exactly are they focused on?
One of the projects that just wrapped up is the Adraktos, which was done with funding and support from the Ministry of Culture. At first, we wanted to document the craft of weaving. Then we invited for contemporary artists to draw inspiration from the weavers' creations and create their own original works. We then showcased it all in a virtual digital museum, so anyone could visit and explore.
That's great. And it's clear how one art form can inspire another. It's really beautiful. And there's another project underway, right?
Exactly. I'll pick up the thread, since we're talking about weaving, from Antonis. In Adraktos, we really explored the idea of co-weaving, how the last generation of village weavers can inspire contemporary artists to come together and create something new. We'll be presenting this project, the digital works and the physical ones, during an event this year at the archaeological site of Idianandron, on August 21st and 22nd, titled Paramitisma, supported by the National Opera's All of Greece, One Culture program. It's dedicated to the art of weaving and the paramitisma, the step of threading the loom, which symbolizes a passage. A passage of the threads into the loom, and this passage can also be seen as one between generations, which is our theme this year. We're excited to highlight this effort of revival, carried out both through the school and through the new generation of weavers being born in the region.
And let's not forget, beyond the woven creations themselves, just watching a woman at her loom is an experience in itself. Even the sound it makes, those of us who grew up with it as children, it's something we hope will keep echoing in the decades to come. Thank you both very much, and we wish for this whole effort to bear fruit.
Thank you too.
Which we can already see happening. And hopefully, visitors coming to Crete in the years ahead will keep visiting these workshops, and buying creations to take home, something unique from Crete.
Absolutely. Hopefully it all flourishes, and we can, as I said, refocus on raw material, wool as a resource. That's the biggest challenge for the years ahead.
Thank you both.